Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
When I go to Sacramento, I will pump up Sacramento.
Some say the news is fake. Others say it's real. These two don't have the time to check. Instead, Turner Sparks and Michael Ira Kaplan turn to comics stationed around the globe to be their eyewitness reporters so that you can know what's really going on. This is Lost in America.
All right, everybody, welcome to Lost in America, episode 201. My name's Turner Sparks.
And I am Mike Kaplan.
You can find me at turnersparks.com. You can find Kaplan at Cap in America on Instagram. This show, go to lostinamericapod.com. You can watch us on YouTube. If you're watching us on YouTube, you can listen to us on a podcast. If you're listening to us on a podcast, watch us on YouTube. We like to double our subscriptions, double our listens. Just click play, and we got to move the numbers up, Cap. How you doing?
I'm doing great. And speaking of news, moving the numbers up, you got to go on. If you follow us on Facebook, you say congrats to every one of our videos, right? Is that what I'm understanding?
We just figured out this Facebook hack. This is going to move us to the top of the charts. If it's somebody's birthday, you know, if it's somebody's birthday on Facebook and people are like, whoa, happy birthday. If you say happy, or I think you can say happy birthday too. If you say happy birthday, or if someone's like, I just got a new job and people are like, congrats, then it moves them up because they want to promote positivity over there on Facebook, these morons. So they're trying to like do that. So if you see if you see us post a video or post our podcast, say either happy birthday or congrats. This goes out to our entire pod army. And we want to move up the charts with fake scam the algorithm.
I mean, our video clips we're posting everywhere are great. They are worthy of a congrats
or a happy birthday.
They're worthy of a happy. No, but a lot of people didn't wish me happy birthday this year. My wall was pretty barren this year. So say happy birthday. It doesn't work if you go if you say Mazel Tov. That doesn't work, right? Those anti-Semites over there at Facebook are only doing
it doesn't work. You said it to me when I was like, everybody say congrats to me. The first time I tried this, like a few weeks ago, say congrats so I can move this up. And you said Mazel Tov and nothing.
It actually went down. They deleted it. They called it.
You have to do it in English. Kaplan, on the podcast.
Now attempt it right now.
Let me give you an intro. Hold on. The voice you are hearing is coming to us all the way from Armenia. It's our friend Narek Margarian, I believe.
Hey, everyone.
Yes, he will be on in just a second. But before we have him on, Kaplan, a couple more things to promote. Also, Patreon. We have the way we pay for this show is completely free. We're giving it out free every week. And also, I want to say thanks to our listeners because we had our highest. This month is going to be our highest downloads ever. We are building. We're growing. People are loving the new format. Who knew? All we needed to do was get comedians from around the world to do this show, and people would start listening
Genius.
To us.
Yeah, so you should come on our page and say congrats to us for that.
And so the way we pay for this show, though, this show is not brought to you by sponsors. We don't have Nike. We don't have Coca-Cola.
DraftKings.
We have the listeners. The way we do that is go to lostinamericapod.com, click the little Patreon banner, and that on patreon.com, you can get 3 extra episodes a week of just me and Kaplan talking about life in New York City. So do that.
Yeah.
All right. Now let's get in to our guest. Cap, first of all, before we bring him in, what do you know? We're talking about the Armenia-Azerbaijan conflict going on right now. somehow, this is what I know. I'll start with me.
Yeah, you
I know
start. That, what do you so, got?
Well, Russia has gotten involved with peace. They with a ceasefire, which is amazing on the part of Russia. You know, with us, rarely are they offering peace. And then Turkey is involved as well. I don't know how those all mix together.
Right. I know that there's always like the rule is if you don't know why there's a conflict going on somewhere in the world, you just guess that there's a disputed territory involving an ethnic minority that's in charge of a majority and like the ethnic minority. So that's what I think is the case in this situation.
Well, that is it. Yeah. Sorry. There's
the disputed area that there's Armenians. Wait.
Yeah. Armenians you're right. No, there's people. There's the one side. Think like for our Americans, think East and West Germany. Right. And then yes. Berlin is West Germany, but it's in the East. They have a similar thing as far as I can tell.
A lot of Armenians living in Azerbaijan, and there's an area that's been kind of like they haven't decided in, I don't know, 25 years who's part of the world it is. So, and then they decided no one's looking. Everyone's busy with this presidential election or Belarus and other stuff. So let's have a battle. And they've been fighting. Right. And that's, and we're going to go in and we're not going to do anything about it because we're not really involved in the world right now. So Russia,
well, this doesn't involve us. This doesn't involve America at all. All right. Let's bring
Turkey and Russia are kind of battling. So, yeah.
And before Neri, I want to give you a proper introduction. You have done, you have a great show. You have Arm Comedy on YouTube, which is a very big show. It's a much bigger show than our show, by the way. It's a Armenian. I didn't even know about the Armenian comedy scene at all. I looked you up online. You've been on Conan in at Los Angeles. You've had Conan O'Brien on your show in Armenia. Yeah. Welcome to the show. We're happy to have you here. What did we get right and what did we get wrong?
Hi, guys. It's great to be on your show. I've been lost in America before. In Memphis, Tennessee, but that's a whole different story. Let's talk about a conflict. So
let's imagine you have South Dakota and North Dakota, and then a third country decides that South Dakota should be a part of Mexico and not the United States. Let's say Canada is that one. And then it stays there for a while. And when the third party doesn't exist anymore, naturally it wants to go back, right? Join US and the Dakotas.
Yes.
And the Carolinas. That's pretty much what happened here. So Artsakh has been a part of Armenia for thousands of years. And I'm not even exaggerating because we're one of the oldest countries that have lived on throughout history. We were the first to accept Christianity. 1700 years ago, and Artsakh is a place that has monasteries and churches from the 5th century, 7th century, 13th century. So there only an idiot would dispute that this land has always been populated by Armenians. At one point in the 1920s, when the Soviet Union was being organized, it was also supposed to be added to Armenia. And one day before this decision was to be signed, Joseph Stalin changes his mind. He says, no, I'm not going to give it to Armenians. Let's put it into Azerbaijan, but make it an autonomous republic. So it's not fully Azerbaijan. It's kind of, it has all self-regulation and stuff, but technically it is. And it stays there for 70 years when Soviet Union to the point where Soviet Union collapses. So when it collapses, what happened is there are 15 states and each of them gets to vote whether they want to go out and become independent. And every state votes. Armenia votes, Kazakhstan votes, Azerbaijan votes. And just like that, Artsakh also votes because they don't want to be a part of Azerbaijan. See, when they joined, there was a population of 89% Armenians. The lowest the population of Armenia has been with when they were autonomous in Azerbaijan was 79 or something. So still, like, it's not even the majority. It's absolutely everyone that are Armenian there. Of course, they vote to get out, and that's what happened. And Azerbaijan disputes that, and they disagree with that, and they are using forces. The sad thing about this war, this current war, is they're not just using their forces. They brought in terrorists from Syria and from Libya. They're fighting on their side. It's a fact that has been voiced by French President Macron, by Russians. We have intercepted a number of conversation of terrorists discussing the situation, and they are brought to Azerbaijan from Turkey. And Turkey is a big part of this whole new war, because Turkey wants to dominate South Caucasus. Turkey wants to be the new big shot in the region. It's challenging Russia. It's challenging others. And the international community seems to be too silent about this, because, well, this is actually now a terrorist threat. And when you have terrorists, and when you have so many countries committed to fighting terrorism, like United States, it's unclear to me why they are so silent and why they are so sort of cautious in their remark, like saying that fighting erupted, not saying the word who started it. It's obvious who started it, because you have a independent state that's right there and another state that wants to get it. So who attacks who? This is very simple logic, right? They have everything they want. Why would they attack Azerbaijan or somebody else, a state that's like 100 times bigger than theirs? They never would. But international community has been very quiet about this. Russia is taking some steps for the ceasefire. And even now, like, we have this ceasefire didn't even last for 5 minutes, because what they thought is their president says they, before the ceasefire, the president announced that they have taken a region in Hadrut, and he tweeted about this, but they haven't. So the ceasefire was supposed to start at midday at 12 o'clock, and they thought that let's do like one last try to get this land so the president doesn't look stupid. And they sent 200 terrorists, but their attack was our guys fought off. And they couldn't take it, so they went beyond this midday point, and once again proved themselves to even be sort of not keeping up to their promise to keep the ceasefire. The only reason the ceasefire was so that both sides can exchange corpses and...
Okay, so... Yeah. Okay, so that was a lot to take in, but I'm gonna... I get it. In this sense... Going backwards to the North Dakota, South Dakota thing, this territory, Artsakh is the South Dakota in this instance. Russia is the Canada, right?
No. Soviet Union is the Canada.
Sorry, Soviet Union
anymore. So the entity that thought of that map doesn't exist anymore.
Yes, and so that's the issue. So then the war in the early 90s, so what happened from the time this, well, I guess that's what the Soviet Union collapsed in 89, 90, and is that what triggered, well, now that that country does, that territory, that doesn't exist anymore, that power, then everybody wants that part of land? Is that why that happened in the early 90s?
Well, not everyone, just everybody wants that part of the land. And then, that was like part of the whole deal. Soviet Union would have such little mines, you know, installed in every republic that was part of it, so that there would be then disputes. And there were like a lot of nations that were, you know, transported from one place to the other. So now we're sort of trying to deal with that. And it's not the hardest thing to deal with that if our neighbor, so-called neighbor Azerbaijan, would, you know, just adhere to international law and fulfill the requirements that they signed upon, the UN resolutions that they signed upon, that they cite so often against us. But they were the ones, like in 93, they signed these resolutions, and there were these UN resolutions that were supposed to first of all, establish a ceasefire, and they kept violating.
So what?
So they had a ceasefire and they kept violating it.
And it's happening today. They're shelling Stepanakert, the capital of Nagorno of Artsakh, and it is ceasefire now. Supposedly we are in ceasefire, but they keep shelling it. They're using cluster bombs, and cluster bombs is like a rocket, and inside of it has even more like tiny bombs. So when it explodes, it then further explodes to cause even more sadistic kind of damage. These kind of things are banned by every organization that is dealing with warfare. And it's basically a war crime to use that, but they have been using it for weeks now.
So why, what happened between, it seems like this is something that hasn't been fixed ever, really. It hasn't been solved. No one's came to an agreement at any point. What happened from 1994 when the fighting ended until 3 weeks ago or whenever the fighting started again?
So after 1994, there was the status quo when negotiations went on, but didn't really. In the beginning, you said what America has to do with it. See, United States, France, and Russia are part of the Minsk group that is supposed to settle this issue. And the negotiations went on, but they didn't come to any like realistic conclusion. In 2010, in 2013, we thought we're really close. But it did not happen due to Azerbaijan not really willing. They kept wanting more than was initially proposed to them. And that is why it never happened.
Okay. And you mentioned these the terrorists that are coming in from Syria, right? And from what I can tell, what it seems like, there's a lot of different reports on that. Some say it's happening. Some, you know, obviously in Azerbaijan, they just deny that those terrorists even exist. But also, it seems like they're coming from, they're being paid by Turkey.
Yeah, they're handsomely paid. They're paid $1,000 a month, you know, to come and die, I guess, which is, but you imagine from, they're coming from a poor country, which maybe there it's a lot of money. And I mean, it's not even essentially debated anymore because there's so much evidence to it. There are videos of them now. There is intercepted conversation, and there are, you know, presidents like France saying this, the Russian intelligence is saying this, so these aren't like entities that would speak based on some suggestions or maybe.
So why is Turkey involved?
Turkey wants to dominate South Caucasus. Turkey wants, you know, they have this big dream of reinstating the Ottoman Empire, much like Hitler wanted to reinstate the Reich. Now they want this neo-Ottoman Empire. They want to sort of go on, join Azerbaijan and then Kazakhstan and neighboring countries. So they have these really, really big plans. They want to challenge Russia to dominate the region. That's why this is one of the locations they are sort of provoking everyone with. And also, I guess, in part, they're also testing this flying drones, which this basically is the first war to be really fought using so much drones. And like, if you look at some of the footage, it's basically something from Star Wars. Like you watch this and you don't even believe that this is happening right now because it looks so much like Star Wars. And Azerbaijan has bought a lot of those from Israel. Israel is providing them these drones. Also Turkey builds them. They have a common plant in Turkey that Azerbaijan and Turkey are producing these drones. So our guys are really fighting like the new age war, which has like nothing to do with the wars you've seen before, like in Iraq or World War II. It looks basically nothing like that.
And is anybody supporting Armenia like with like weaponry wise, or how does Armenia compete with it?
Our main weapon supplier is Russia. We're part of a security block with Russia. That's where we get our weapon. Yeah.
But Russia, I read, supplies military or like arms to Azerbaijan as well. Is that right?
Yeah, I guess it's something like the 30% of the Azerbaijan's weapons is Russian weapons. Well, Russia is the big player in the region and let's say in the world too. So I think whichever country you look at, a significant amount of their weaponry would be from Russia anyway.
But are they supplying arms on at the same time? Or is this a case like they did it a long time ago to one side?
It was mostly like before they were, of course, selling more, but Azerbaijan knew this wouldn't last for a long time. So like it's buying less from Russia, increasingly less, and increasingly more from Turkey and Israel.
But there's no, like, because these fighters that are coming in are they're mercenaries, basically. There's no religious or reason. There's no reason why anybody would want to fight for this land, right? It's just
they're mercenaries and they're jihadists, which is kind of terrifying for everyone who's from the region and Russia itself. Like, to understand where this is like about 80 kilometers from the borders of Russia. It's even fewer kilometers from Georgia. So just having terrorists so close, regardless of who they fight for, is just terrifying, and something needs to be done with that on a very serious level.
So is this going to bring Russia up until now doesn't seem like they're really backing either side, right? They're kind of playing both sides.
No, they're not playing both sides. They do want to actually what they did is they had like 11-hour negotiations to have this ceasefire it didn't quite work to the extent everyone hoped, but it did change the situation. I'm very thankful that they're trying. Of course, could they have done more? I think so. But is anyone else doing something more significant? I don't think so.
Yeah, no one else seems to be doing anything except like the UN and I guess our government. I think
the
Trump
UN
said
is very funny. The UN and OSCE, they made all the decisions. First of all, they said that they're concerned.
Yeah, then they said, that's good. They're concerned. There you go.
Then they said they're deeply concerned.
Oh,
then they said level. They are gravely concerned.
Yeah. They said they're all just saying stuff like the fighting has to stop, but offering no solutions as to how.
I think
Trump said the same thing. We don't support the conflict.
Trump said, I'm quoting, we're strongly looking at the situation.
Yes.
Strongly. And then, you know, I think, naturally, the U.S., it tries to, maybe even if it tries to concentrate on this issue, then suddenly a fly lands on Mike Pence's head, and then everyone's distracted.
That's why we have this podcast, Derek.
But then Trump's gets COVID, and then nobody cares.
Well, so here's how you lobby in the United States. You guys need to send Kim Kardashian to the White House. She's best friends with Trump.
We did.
She's Armenian, famously.
She personally sent $1 million to the humanitarian fund just yesterday, I think it was.
Yeah.
Yesterday we had a huge rally in Los Angeles. Over 150,000 Armenians were in Los Angeles. We had a big one in Boston. We had a big one in D.C. So, and around the world, Brussels, France, wherever there are Armenians, they're doing these huge rallies, just, you know, raising awareness. But every day that passes, it's more soldiers that get killed, and it's a situation that gets worse and worse.
Yeah. And what about, I read that there's a pipeline, like an oil and gas pipeline from Azerbaijan through Georgia to Turkey.
Yeah.
Could that have to do with why Turkey is involved as well? That they're interested in that oil and gas?
That has more to deal with the fact that Azerbaijan got rich with oil money and bought all that fancy weaponry. We never really seriously said that we are going to target it anyway. It's them who said a month ago, they said that they could target Armenia's nuclear plant, which is kind of ridiculous because it's like shooting yourself in the foot. Because if a nuclear plant goes up in Armenia, it goes up in the entire region, and not just Armenia is fucked. Everyone is fucked. So, just the fact that they are sort of resorting to that kind of rhetorics, threatening to do this, this is plain terrorism, right? It's eco-terrorism. That's the impression everyone should get for them. These are people who are willing to target a nuclear plant, which is right next to them, which is right fucking next to them.
Okay, so Turkey's main, as you said, it's just for domination of the region. They think that if they can support Azerbaijan and Azerbaijan somehow wins a war against you, then all of a sudden they can kind of half control Azerbaijan. Is that correct?
Yeah, my sort of analysis is that Turkey wants to have a success story saying, look, Azerbaijan had a problem and we solved it. So then when it goes to the other countries that it wants to involve in whatever new bloc or whatever third rake Ottoman Empire they're building, they'll have this success story. See, we did this with Azerbaijan. What problem have you got? We can solve it. I think that's the big goal they're trying to achieve here.
Yeah, because Erdogan in Turkey is kind of a Putin in that he wants to reclaim.
No, he's not a Putin. Let's call him a Hitler because he's more of a
Hitler.
In 2005 they changed their law. Now they have a law that says you cannot offend Turkishness, and by Turkishness you imply everything. You cannot make a meme about a politician. You cannot joke about a politician. You cannot write a book that depicts Turkey, you know, two-dimensionally, let's say. And they had their, like, award-winning authors being prosecuted for that. So basically, this is absolute censorship. Like, it's 1984-style censorship that they've got. It's so frustrating that the world does not really recognize it for what it is and doesn't call it out for what it is. Just recently, the NATO secretary was there and he said, Turkey is a valued member. No, Turkey is a country that in the past decade has started at least 10 wars around. It has troubles with Cyprus, with Greece, with Egypt, with Syria, with Armenia, and it keeps on piling up. But somehow everyone's too afraid. They beat up people in Washington D.C. like right
on the nose.
And Trump, the guy who's always, you know, he's not taking any shit from anyone. He just did nothing.
He respected it. Do we know why? Does anyone know why Turkey's allowed to do all this?
Easy explanation is afraid. I don't know.
Yeah. But are we really afraid of Turkey? Is Russia really afraid of Turkey?
I wouldn't say that they're afraid, but nobody wants to start a conflict with a country that big because, well, you know, I'm saying these are all new age wars. Now, these days, if one of the big countries goes into war with another, it's not going to be like 4 to 5 years like in the old days. It's a couple of nuclear bombs and you're done and the planet is screwed. So no one wants to have a major war, and we will not have a major war. We will have things like this going on for a couple of weeks, 3 weeks, months or so, because it's too devastating now. Nobody can take sort of a nuclear strike and not have like the rest of the planet suffer.
Turkey doesn't even like they don't even let us say the word like Armenian genocide. They get countries in the world to like not admit that ever happened. They want to erase history. They
like to deny stuff. They deny Michael Jackson died. They are denying shit.
They deny Michael Jackson died?
They think he's still alive? No, I'm just kidding. Did he fake his death and move to Turkey?
Move to Turkey, yeah. That's the safest place for a guy who looked like that to be.
So what about like politically? What's on the line for your leader, for the Azerbaijan leader, with the conflict, with this disputed land?
I don't know. I think there are plenty of ways to settle, but I think Azerbaijan just has this I want it all approach, which is not going to work. So unless there's a consensus, this is going to last even longer. And it's so bad even for them because when you have a conflict with neighbors, it usually means less investments. It means you're not stable and it draws your business down. So everyone is interested in resolving this conflict,
but
dragged down.
What's it like between that? That brings up a good point. If you were to go, it's not right now, but say a month ago, if you were to go to Azerbaijan, do you not go?
Allow you in? No. They don't allow Armenians in, and sometimes they don't even allow people who have Armenian sounding kind of names. There was this case a couple of years ago. So a guy whose name was Albert. It's not an Armenian name. Right?
Albert the Armenian, of course. Yeah. Albert Einstein.
A guy whose name was Albert, he was Russian. He wanted to travel to Azerbaijan. And they stopped him in the airport and were saying, I do have some ties with the Armenians because there are lots of Alberts among the Armenians too. But it's not an Armenian name. So even in that kind of situation, and whenever someone famous visits Artsakh, They have a blacklist. Just a few years ago, when Anthony Bourdain from CNN, when he was alive, he visited Artsakh. He did a show here in Armenia.
I watched
and it. He was blacklisted by Azerbaijan. That's
Kim Kardashian is blacklisted. Kanye blacklisted.
Oh, Wyoming. Yeah, of course. That's the blackest list they got. Like,
what about
Kanye? He can solve it.
I remember Anthony Bourdain. He was with that one guy from the heavy metal band.
Serge Tankian, the sister from System of a Down.
System of a Down. That's
Is that guy Armenian?
Yes.
When Anthony was here, we did a piece with him too for the show, and we got to talking to him. And he said, like, "What's the place you would recommend for me to visit?" And we said Artsakh. We were one of those who gave him the idea to go there.
Artsakh,
so we got him blacklisted.
Whoops. Yeah.
Hey, whatever. If he's gonna go,
biggest problem. Let's be honest. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. If you were to how do people travel then to Artsakh? You can fly in and out, because it's, as we said, it's like Berlin would be. It's in the middle of another country.
No, for you to get to Artsakh, you need to travel to Armenia, and then we have a very safe road that takes you to Artsakh. It's connected to Armenia.
You can drive. Well,
you just drive. It's only about five to six hours.
But
and it's not that safe these days, of course, but it used to be very safe. I've been there a number of times myself.
But okay, so the maps. Here's another question I had, because looking at maps of the two countries.
Yeah, you wouldn't assume it's connected, right?
It doesn't look connected. And every map is slightly different, too.
There's a corridor. Oh. And that was also one of the things in the negotiations when we are willing to do certain, what's the word?
Negotiating deals?
Whenever we're willing for a consensus, there needs to be like a land road connecting Artsakh to Armenia, because otherwise it wouldn't work. And not just be there, but also be safe, which is very important.
Yeah, you can't be driving down the highway with people shooting missiles at you.
And also, like, one of the reasons I forgot to mention why people of Artsakh wanted to be independent is because that there have been Armenians living in Azerbaijan during the Soviet times, and then there were these mass murders and beatings of these people. Many of them were thrown out of the country, and some of them were killed. And that is why it's not safe to be there and be Armenian. And that is why people of Artsakh wisely decided not to live with murderers.
So have you ever been to Azerbaijan?
No.
That's wild.
That would be just impossible.
You've been to the United States.
Ethnic make? Yeah. Well, it's a lot safer. A lot more friendly people here.
It's so far away, though. I'm saying geographically.
I've been to the States a couple of times, actually. I enjoyed my time.
We have way more Armenians here than Azerbaijan, whatever you call it. Let's be honest.
Once there's an Azerbaijani like supermodel who marries a rapper, then you'll have an issue.
But then we're in trouble. Yeah, in your trouble.
Until then.
Yeah, actually, you would meet so much people in Azerbaijan. Just, hey, hi.
Hi. Is that your son?
This is Mark. Say hi, Mark. So in LA, you usually meet friends from Armenia you haven't seen for a while. And that's kind of very peculiar. There's so many Armenians there.
So what would be, by the way, this is all, I can't believe Stalin. I mean, really blame Stalin for this whole thing.
Yeah. Terrible job. Can't believe Stalin screwed something up in the world.
Everyone's favorite guy.
That guy's got an impeccable reputation for sound decisions.
Who would think that he could like fuck up that way, right?
Yeah. I mean, I was told by some kids on a college campus that he was a great man. So no.
If he would have, just going backwards, if he would have given that to Armenia from the very beginning, is there any reason why Azerbaijan thinks it would be the opposite, why they would think they would have rights to that territory?
I don't think so, because
it's not like a holy land.
Like, what is their argument, devil's advocate? Like, why do they think they deserve this land?
Back then it was like about 9% population that were Azerbaijani, and I don't think there would be any problem with that.
So there's no natural resources. It's not like you have a lot of copper there.
It's designed to be a problem. That's the whole thing, that it's designed to be a problem, a mine, so that everyone doesn't have a way out of the Soviet Union. And there are numerous examples in other Soviet countries of things like that.
So do you think that's interesting? I've never heard that. So the Soviet Union did that on purpose.
Yeah, of course. Of course. It was like to sort of burn the bridges kind of deal. To have these mines, you know, just installed for when you need them, you can sort of push the button.
Wow. Had you ever heard that, Cap?
No, I did not. I mean, I've heard a lot. I don't know that. Yeah, this Armenia has always been an area that's fascinating me in Azerbaijan. I don't know that much about it, though. I just feel like.
What are other examples? Do we know of other examples around the former Soviet Union?
One example is the Osh region in Kyrgyzstan. That's like one of those places. There's a lot of like the Abkhazia part in Georgia, not Georgia the state, but Georgia the country.
Right,
and it's been a dispute between Russia and Georgia. So basically, nearly all of them have.
And Bumblebee. Probably
be number. Yes. Not my kids in. This week. Not
he's,
my kids.
He's into Transformers these days.
He has some ideas. Oh, Bumblebee. So what's is there any solution that could make both sides happy?
Yeah. Like, what can they do with this area? Is there a way to divide it up? Or?
I think not doing anything. Well, just, you know, to resolve it peacefully. And we're really, Armenians are a peaceful nation that never wants to have war, but when one comes, we take it with dignity, but we really don't want to, because there's so much going on in the world today, and like just the fact being in war in the 21st century is so redundant, and it just needs to be dealt with as soon as possible, so we can go on and produce and give a lot to the world as much as we can, because with that kind of creative and fun nation.
Yeah. And what about you? What's the comedy scene like? I was fascinated to hear there's a stand-up comedy community in Azerbaijan.
In Azerbaijan?
In Armenia. Excuse me.
Stand-up was one of the things that I started like right after finishing university. We did some stand-up in the clubs, and then it evolved into a TV show I do with my colleague Sergey, and it's called Arm Comedy. It's basically like the Armenian version of The Daily Show, where we take the news and we make fun of the news. It's currently in its 9th season. We've been doing it for about 9 years now. A lot of things have changed through these 9 years, but we keep on doing it, and it's been growing. As you know, we were on Conan once, and Conan was on our show when he traveled to and did this special episode about Armenia. And we sometimes travel to United States. We had a stand-up tour in 2017, I think. We had English language comedy special that we did in Boston, in LA, in San Francisco, you know, the towns that have predominantly Armenian. And it was.
And you have the
cool
key. You have the key to Glendale, California.
I do. I do have the key to the city of Glendale, and it's such an honor to get those. And you know, we were planning to do another one when this first COVID thing hit, and then this war erupted, started.
Yeah. What's the same? Do you have a comedy club, a stand-up comedy club, or do you guys do it in bars and cafes and stuff?
We were doing it in bars. Like a couple of times people attempted starting a comedy club, but it doesn't really pick up, because I think you need way more comedians who could provide material for every day for it to be fresh and stuff.
Yeah.
People are attempting it. I think some of these days it is going to succeed. We're moving towards it, but the club scene is just like that. Like, you put a show. We started in bars, then we did like much bigger rooms after that, but not a comedy club per se.
Yeah, that makes sense. And what about, what is there anything you guys aren't allowed to talk about on stage? Is there rules, what you can say, what you can't say? Is it pretty open and free?
No, no, it's very open. We were always allowed to say whatever we wanted. That's like one of the key differences between us and many of other post-Soviet republic states. We don't have any form of censorship.
On TV either.
Yes, on TV.
Because you do political comedy, so.
Yeah, yeah, we do political comedy.
And Azerbaijan is the type of place where they censor things. And
I really doubt they would have any sort of political. I think there was one guy who like once did a sketch when he was dressed as a donkey and they put him in prison. Listen, we're talking about a state. Have you heard of Eurovision, the song contest?
Sure, yes, I've seen the movie, the Will Ferrell movie. Yeah,
it's in the movie. So it's kind of a big deal in Azerbaijan, not so much in Armenia. So when it's over, you vote by sending an SMS. Sort of you choose the country you want and you vote and send an SMS. So this one person voted for Armenia from Azerbaijan. And the next day he was arrested.
That's where we are.
Yeah. What if he said he's like, worth it?
What if it was like he hit the wrong button? He's in alphabetical order.
Maybe he wanted like Bulgaria or something. And yeah. Then, you
know. Oh, you're allowed to vote for Bulgaria, just not Armenia.
Maybe he really liked the song. I don't know.
That is truth to power. That's your greatest example. That's a real hero.
That is like North Dakota, South Dakota.
Oh, really?
Probably in the Wild West.
Tell me more about this. South Dakota.
Yeah. No, I know I'm on your side now in this conflict because you, everything else you've told me, I was almost there. But you tell me this music contest thing, I'm over the edge.
It's outrageous. So fun that seeing people from other countries reacting. Like every time we have tensions with Azerbaijan, they burn a flag of Colombia. Because a flag of Colombia is like flag of Armenia upside down. They look kind of similar. It's the same flag upside down.
Okay.
And every year they burn it. And in one of the episodes, we mentioned that. And there was a bunch of Colombian guys. Why are they burning our flag?
Yeah, you're going to get Colombian like soccer fans are going to come and fight.
Yeah, what the hell are you doing with our flag?
If Pablo Escobar saw that, he would have come out.
And then this year, I think that the actress Penelope Cruz, she's doing some movie where she's playing a Colombian. And they have like promotional posters. So she has the Colombian flag behind her. And they thought it's an Armenian flag. They went on her Instagram and threatened her.
Oh my God.
There were thousands of comments, hate speech and stuff because she had a Colombian flag.
So that's news to all our Colombian listeners. You're hated in Azerbaijan.
Yeah, be careful when you go to Azerbaijan. Don't just bring your flag out, especially if you do it upside down. Be very careful. You're parading around.
As Cap said, devil's advocate, they would say that that's their land because Stalin gave it to him a long time ago.
Uncle Joe gave it to him.
Point one, he didn't give it to them. They were still an autonomous republic, a part of Azerbaijan, but very self-controlled. So they were making their own decisions.
Okay.
It's not really a part of it. Point number one. And point number two, thousands of years and 70 years. Thousands of years, history, churches, culture.
Yeah. Well, if we went by those rules in America, we'd all be on Native American land right now, which maybe we should be. But
they have good casinos, so something.
Yeah.
Last question. What about that other part looking at the map? And I apologize, I don't know what it's called, but you have Armenia, and then on the other side of Armenia, you have a slice of land that's Azerbaijan's land. What's the
Nakhichevan? Yeah, and once again, like my grandmother is from Nakhichevan.
Okay.
So that's the extent of how not Armenian that land is. Of course, it's Armenian. It used to be Armenian as well, but it's also like this dwiddling with the maps.
Stalin did that too.
I wouldn't make a point out of it because I don't quite remember whose decision that was, but. Of course, it's traditional Armenian land as well, as is much of Turkey, and it has always been. But, you know, we've been through rough times in history. We've been through genocide when over 1.5 million Armenians were murdered in Ottoman Empire, just being the reason being that they are Armenians. But the difference is that back then, we always thought, all right, so it was 1915. They didn't have internet. They didn't have...
Yeah.
Telephone, so people in civilized world wouldn't know about it, but sort of Turkey's doing this whole thing again. This is happening basically live. Basically, everyone has 24/7 access to it. But the silence is deafening. The silence and not this sort of resort. Everyone wants to be overly politically correct and don't blame anyone, just to be cautious, not to be liable, don't be sued by anyone. I was really pissed when the first day when Azerbaijan attacked, sort of drones are coming on Armenia and Artsakh land. And then everyone goes using these phrases like it fighting erupted, fighting escalated. No, just call it for what it is. The drones came attacking.
Yeah.
And they're different kind of drones. One that are like kamikaze, they go and blow up. Others that are throwing bombs. Others that are attacking sort of posts. And, you know, Al Jazeera, BBC, CNN, all these big names, they look at it and say, well, it erupted. It erupted. Yeah. Everybody knows.
How did it erupt?
It erupted. Volcanoes erupt, you know. teenagers erupt sometimes in their sleep. But conflicts don't erupt magically.
Yeah, it's like I'm Jewish and we went through obviously a genocide, and then Germany afterwards felt guilty about it and it's like that will never happen again. I don't think where Germany, but like Turkey 100 years later is back to where they were, you know, 100 years ago. They're trying
Have you heard about the phrase that Hitler used when he was planning Holocaust?
Yeah, I was telling it to Turk. Is it something like, oh, people don't remember the Armenians or something
one of the things he was feeling safe. He said nobody remembers the Armenian genocide. That's why he tried. And that is why it is so important that people speak up, because if nobody cares, well, you bet somebody's going to attempt it again. And especially it's like it doesn't fit in my head that Israel would be the one.
When you said that, I was very confused because Israel and they're working with Erdogan and it's very complicated. Yeah. I have to look more into that.
Erdogan just last week said that Jerusalem is traditional Turkish land.
Yeah, so they are not friends.
Last week he said it. It wasn't somewhere.
He said it was Turkish land?
Yes. Yeah, he said that last week. So he's not exactly a friend. Yeah, because of the Ottomans, going back to like the Ottoman Empire.
Yeah, so you see the spectrum that he's looking at. It's Israel.
Assuming that's a Netanyahu will coddle up to like dictators in the regions who are nice to him kind of thing.
It's very sad because like the Jewish community here in Armenia strongly condemned the fact that they're selling these drones to Azerbaijan.
Yeah.
They're not doing anything to stop. They were so vocal about it, but then it somehow got drowned.
Well, the Jewish Armenians, by the way, have really had a rough historically. It's a double win. I've had a lot of diasporas there. a question I'm confused about, because I know a little about the genocide, but I don't know much. Like they say, like the Armenian diaspora, or where you're like you're spread out around the world.
Yeah.
Like, what is the reason why there are Armenians? Like,
reason that Armenians are spread around the
just
world
from lots of
genocide, because most of Turkey of modern day is Armenian territory. If you look at older maps of Armenia, it's all been Armenia. And when the Ottoman Empire was installed, all these Armenians lived in the Ottoman Empire. And when they started the genocide, 1.5 million of them got killed and everyone else fled to France, fled to United States, Germany, Russia.
To Glendale.
Yeah. Glendale, Fresno, Boston is the one of the oldest sort of communities. I did a show in Boston. It was terrific.
Have you done a show in Fresno? And
No, not really.
You're still alive, so I would guess not, probably.
It's part of the plan.
Stay away from the meth labs if you go there.
Meth labs?
Yeah, it's a nice place.
Are they gathering and doing solving meth problems?
Yeah.
Laboratories, you're talking?
The laboratories. Yeah, exactly. Sure. Oh my gosh, Cap! Any more questions? I think we got it. We don't got it. We got a lot more research to
do. Can I ask? What's an Armenian meal that I should get when I'm in LA, in Glendale or Boston? Because I've never had Armenian food, and I'm really big into trying foods. And I can't believe I lived in LA 2 years and didn't do that. So what do we got? What should I eat?
Try dolma. That's my favorite. It's meat in grape leaves. Ask for dolma. This is like one of my favorites, one I recommend to everyone. And
That's there almost like Mediterranean. I mean, I'm not, I don't want to step on toes here.
Don't say it's Turkish.
No, absolutely not.
They're not playing over that. You know, this thing about, they call, what we call coffee, you guys call Turkish coffee.
Yes. Right.
There is this one chain.
I don't.
There is this one chain. I don't remember the name. There's one American chain that has coffee shops. And everywhere, this particular type of coffee is called Turkish coffee. But the one in Glendale calls it Eastern coffee.
Oh, smart.
What about Turkish Delight? Did they do the same with that? Eastern Delight.
You ever been to a Turkish prison? Oh, no, they keep that note. That stays. That's not a...
Oh, my gosh. Narek, thank you for doing the show, man. And thank you for informing us.
Thank you, guys. Love to be anytime. And you couldn't have invited me for the 200th show, huh?
201!
The anniversary. 201, it would be so much fancier. It was 200.
We've got some bad episodes in the past. We'll delete one of them, and you'll be 200. You know,
It took us 200 episodes to get good. This is our first good episode.
This is the first number one, we'll call it, in the new era.
Good answer. Anyway, let's do it when you reach 300.
Let's do it at 300.
We'll do it when there's a resolution. We'll have you back.
And when you come to New York.
Thank you, guys. Thank you for talking about this. It's really important that people care and know what's going on.
Of course, man. Well, thank you for coming on. When you come to New York, we're going to do it in person. Narek Margaryan, thank you very much. That's the show. Kaplan, everybody subscribe to our Patreon page and listen to YouTube. Watch us on YouTube. Listen to us on your podcast player. Cap, YouTube. What should we do? Yeah.
I got to go make my kids lunch, so I'm going to get lost.
Get lost.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.